Hey folks, it's Marvin Cash, the host of the Articulate Fly, and we're back with another East Tennessee Fishing Report with Ellis Ward. Ellis, how are you doing?
Doing all right. A little cold right now.
I was getting ready to say you are the epitome of dedication. Rainy and 52 degrees, and you fished until there wasn't any light left and very little juice left in the battery to get across the lake.
Yep. I was wondering if the size 27 battery is tailor-made just for that specific lake run, but I think I've knocked a little water and acid out of it a few times, so I'm guessing that it dies a little sooner than it should.
Yeah, at least you weren't on the emergency oar. That'd be a bummer.
Yeah, that is a bummer.
So what are you seeing out there? You know, weather in our part of the world is all over the place, like warm, super cold, rain. It must be kind of a little bit maybe nutty and frustrating on the trout streams.
Yeah. What's nice about how we fish is that, I mean, it can feel nutty when it's really, really good. And this happened last week where, you know, people listening probably know that I like to fish streamers when we're moving, and I like to stop for any rising trout. And there's certain places that I really want to hit with streamers. And it was like, I'm stopping. These guys are putting like 15, 20 casts out with the streamers, and I'm pulling up and giving them the five weights again. You know, taking some shots, get a fish or two in the boat for, you know, casting the risers, and then sevens and eight weights again, and then 20 or 30 shots. It got to be a little silly, and this, I just have a conversation like, what do you guys want to focus on? And these ones said both. So I'm all about those days, and it's one of the reasons that I do spend these days and afternoons out on the water, just to try to figure out what if, because we are encountered with it often. But yeah, it's 50, going to be in the 40s tonight, and then I think a low of 34 tomorrow, high of 70 in 2 days. Today, I would think, would have been a great blue wing hatch. It was kind of meh, and like 3 days ago, it was just on fire. So very much all over the map, and, you know, for your own fishing, it's one of the times it pays to be prepared for fishing a couple different ways.
Yeah, and the good news is we're on the street as you are now on the Oros Pro staff.
Yeah, I'm getting, you know, one color isn't contrast enough for me. And I feel like two is a little too loud. So I'm having them do like a sort of like a tie-dye thing, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and then I understand if you put them like 18 inches apart, you can see the relative movement of them and really whack the fish, right?
Yeah, that's actually... jokes aside, I do feel like there are some good streams I used to fish. Maybe even some free, heck, cicada hatch. Super Bowl hooked to one of those things.
Yeah, there you go. Get a black one and just put a couple pen eyes on it and some wings, and you're ready, right?
No.
Yeah. Yep. So I guess, you know, you're probably, what, 2 to 3 days away, assuming that, you know, you kind of get out of this cold, rainy weather from having kind of, you know, the beginning of some really, really good dry fly activity, right?
Yeah, and, you know, we have them intermittently through the winter, but starting to see some, you know, there's just some indicators. Here's kind of a weird one. This is where I start to sound like truly a burnt out guide. Guy was fishing a drunken disorderly and sort of working it down this bank, and working down this weed bed and got it back in the boat, was picking off what he thought was vegetation, and it was a big case caddis. And, you know, it's moved up and out to those weed beds, and I was popping over rock today, and those things are all fat and happy. And yeah, the bloomings, I would say it can be frustrating or tough when they're coming off big numbers and it's like 18s to 20s. But honestly, it's only frustrating when you're fishing 18s and 20s. If you size up to a 16 and maybe put one right behind it, they eat that 16. So, more rock information telling me that some solvers and PMDs will be around the corner. So yeah, it's about to be a buggy time of year. And it's nice because it's the first, you know, the caddis in a couple weeks, the big caddis will be the first, major source of food. And even these smaller hatches, it's certainly on the Watauga, somewhat on the South Holston, you have such a variety of bugs coming off at the same time. And whether or not it's going to be a big blueing hatch or PMD or sulfur, you don't really know, but that it's a good problem to have.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, shifting gears a little bit on you, I got a smallmouth question from Jeremy, and, he's jonesing for pre-spawn smallmouth, and he wanted to get your thoughts on your favorite flies for pre-spawn smallies.
A different one than I had on last week. They were it was like 48 degrees when I was fishing, the water temperature. So expecting a little more activity. I started slowing things down a little bit and got some positive feedback. And I think that's just to give a prelude to that question in typical form. In fashion, it depends. If you're fishing pre-spawn smallies, but it's full sun and the water's still pretty cold and you have a high pressure front moving through, and maybe you got a bit of a cold snap the night before, you can fish a big changer up against log jams and hope for the best, but I kind of do the same thing with the smallies as I do with trout, where it's like, I mean, there's the general baseline, giant sun, barometer, temperature of the water. I'm probably, I'll go bedding in a few good places just to see, but I'm going to have a little more faith in slow rolling. I like the articulated Creelex a lot. I've gotten a lot of nice fish on that, and the regular Creelex, Chuck Craft knew what he was doing. And then I don't stray too much from the quote unquote trout flies, which I think a lot of them are doing a good job of mimicking some crawdaddy stuff. So I have a couple variations that are a little more smallmouth oriented, but articulated bugger platform with maybe two or three extra pairs of legs on the front and back, on a peanut envy or something like a dungeon. You know, tied in a little more muted colors. And man, if it is bitey and if you're in this area and you're fishing any of the reservoirs and creeks and all that, there's just such a big population of 2 to 3 inch shad. I really get into fishing the finesse changers in the, you know, 2-3 inch zone. And then even some of the micro ones, for some of the skinnier water. And at that point, I'm probably transitioning to a intermediate line, or, you know, for the triple densities, going, you know, maxing out at a sink 3 with intermediate running line. But I think, you know, I'm moving away from just immediately going big, full sinking line, you know, short leader, like I would do for a bitey day in the trout, and giving them, I don't have as much data with the smallmouth, so I like to give them the benefit of the doubt and see what type of mood they're in. Now, when it is bitey and they're going, water temperature's mid-50s, got a little cloud cover, late afternoon, and they're eating, I'd like to see one swim through a 7-inch game changer. I mean, and if you go down to the Crelax, if you're fishing little peanut envies, if you're fishing clousers, clawdads, whatever, quote unquote, smallmouth, quote unquote, trout fly that you're fishing and getting feedback from it, and you're getting 8, 9, 10 inch fish, and you're getting, you know, good numbers of them, it's time to, when you have that bitiness, it's time to assume that bigger fish are going to eat. So start changing things up a little bit, and maybe fishing deeper into structure and going a little bigger on the flies.
Got it. And, you know, folks, we love questions on the articulate fly. You can email them to us or DM us on social media, whatever is easiest for you. And if we use your question, I will send you some articulate fly swag. We're in a drawing for something cool from Ellis at the end of the season. And Ellis, I don't want to bucktail shame you, but did you get your last batch of bucktail out?
I thought we were shooting for Easter, isn't that right?
Yeah, well, Easter's pretty soon, brother.
Yeah, it is.
So
they're outgraded. They'll be out by Easter.
All right. Well, there you go. And, you know, folks, remember, we've got two great things on our Patreon community to support the show and support Ellis. At one tier, you get a discount on Ellis's great bucktails in time for Easter, maybe not for overnight for Easter, but in time for Easter. And then on another tier is a $100 annual guide credit with Ellis. And Ellis, before I let you hop, pun intended, you want to let folks know where they can find you and book you and fish with you and all that kind of good stuff.
Yeah. The Easter pun, that really got me. Yes. On Instagram, at Ellis Ward Guides, and trick information, bucktail, an occasional fly, and some videos, a bunch of stuff that I'm hoping is helpful at ellisswardflies.com. And the easiest way to contact me for trips or information or just to pick my brain about something is my cell phone at 513-543-0019.
Well, there you go. Well, listen, folks, you owe it to yourself to get out there and catch a few. Tight lines, everybody. Tight lines, Ellis.
Appreciate it, Marv.